Okay, you may be seated. Our God is good. We are starting a series. It's not going to be every week. I'll do it when I'm here. A series of four messages about Jesus calling. When Jesus calls us, sometimes we have this idea, what is He calling us? How is God calling us? When does He call us? We read in the Bible that Jesus called the 12 disciples. But we also remember the story of Samuel. As God called him, wake him up in the middle of the night, and he hears that voice. Some of us are wondering, how does God guide us? So today we're going to start with Jesus calling us to spend time with Him. Jesus calling us to spend time with Him. The next time I'll be bringing the message will be September 8th. We're going to look at Jesus calling us to follow Him. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And then we will talk about Jesus calling us to join Him in His mission. Jesus came for a purpose, a mission. That's amazing that God said, I want you to be my partners. And then at the church 34th anniversary of October 6th, we're going to talk about Jesus calling us to be His church. What does it mean to be the church? Why do we even come to church? So what's the difference between this church and the church that we just passed by, the Methodist Church? What does He call us to be a unique church of His? So this morning we look at Jesus calling us to spend time with Him. Now, as we think about this, we read through Luke this morning, and this is from Mark chapter 3. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to Him those He wanted, and they came to Him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they may be with Him, and that He might send them out to preach and to have authority. So the three things that Jesus wanted them to do. One is to spend time with Him. Second is to say, go out there and preach. And the third thing is to give them authority to cast out demons. But the very first thing that we find here is that Jesus is calling us to be with Him. He appointed 12. That they might be with Him. So the first calling that's in our lives is thinking of our relationship with Jesus. Christianity is not a set of doctrinal belief, but it is a relationship. And we find that Jesus always, always sets out an example for us about relationship. Because He has a very close relationship with God the Father who sent Him here. Jesus came as the Son of God for the purpose of saving us from our sins. So we find that this is interesting about how the disciples perceive relationship. He said, we proclaim to you what we have heard, we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, fellowship, we're not talking about sending an email or Instagram. We're talking about hearing. We're talking about talking. We're talking about seeing. These disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. And there's a tremendous impact in their lives. And that time spent with Jesus, they have learned, they have heard, they have seen. They have seen Jesus' compassion for those who were sick, for those who were ill, for those who are having problems. They have seen Jesus talk about righteousness. They have seen Jesus stood up for what is right and condemn what is wrong. They have seen Jesus demonstrate His power. And so coming and just looking what Jesus have done, and they have sat under His teaching. And so they have developed a fellowship, a koinonia, or a partnership. When we say we have fellowship with God, we're talking about God saying, you and I are partners. We are partnering with Him. So we also find that in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So oftentimes in the church, when we think about fellowship, we think about our friends, our group. We get together, which is great, weekly or monthly, whenever time we get together, even having a cup of coffee, we are having fellowship. But the first immediate thing is fellowship with Jesus Himself, the Son of God. So as we look at this, we look at how can we develop this relationship with God. And I really believe that we do this by having close relationship in the sense of having a presence of God. And there's a little booklet here called Practicing the Presence of God. And a man by the name of Brother Lawrence, that was not his real name. His real name is Herman. And it's interesting. I had this book for a long time. Last night I read it once more. It's a very small book. You can read this in about half an hour. You can order it on Amazon. And those who don't want to spend money, there's a free download of a PDF copy of this. It's amazing how this man, at a young age of 18, came to faith in Christ. And I'm going to let you look through that. It was a very simple thing. He looked up one day in a tree, and he thought about, hey, this tree will sprout leaves, it would have flowers, there's life, there's renewal of life. He thought about himself. And life is like that. You only have life rooted in Christ. He was a soldier, and he was wounded in war, and really was crippled in some ways. And about the age of 24, he decided to join a monastery in France. So in a monastery, you're not there as a priest. You basically as a layman who said, I give my life to serve God, and here's this monastery of a little over 100 people. And the monks are there. And when you go to a monastery, basically you're there to pray. You're there to draw near to God. And so Brother Lawrence, actually Lawrence was his mentor. He was somebody who he loved and had great respect for. And he adopted that name, Brother Lawrence. What does he do in a monastery? I think you and I would be pretty tired doing the same thing every day. His job was simply to work in the kitchen, scrubbing and cleaning pots and pans. Can you imagine feeding 100 people, you know, all day long? And he did this, scrubbing pans and cleaning. And people would be yelling at him, hey, where's the food? Why is this dirty? What is this? A lot of things that goes on. How can you have peace, the peace of God? Well, he practiced that. He said, you know, I've tried everything. People give me formula, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, this is how you... And we've had lots of books. Not that those are wrong. But he said, I've tried that, but somehow the distraction of the world kept me away from God. So he learned to do this. He said, how do I practice the presence of God in my daily work? I think that's something that we would like to do, don't we? I like to do that. And so this has been my prayer, even as I've been working on this message for a month, and I said, well, God, I want to practice your presence. So that when I talk to people, I'm not judging people. I'm here just like you are here. And when I do things, let me do things with great joy. Let me think very positively. In our time today, we have a lot of distraction. We have our cell phone. Yesterday, I was riding the metro coming home. And sitting next to me is a young Asian man. It's very interesting. He's got his AirPod on, and he's got watching a cartoon on his cell phone, and he's got his Nintendo game. All three things at the same time. I was just amused. I said, wow, multitasking. But those are distractions. You know, I wonder if he got off his metro stop or not. Okay. We do that, right? Other distraction, our focus is no longer on what we intended to do. And God wants us to have time with Him, to be purely in His presence. So I've been trying to work that out. Someone would ask, well, Pastor, how long should you be praying? Last night we were in a retirement party for the husband of Pastor Sharon Hui. She come and preach. Her husband is Howard. And so one of the things they talk about Howard is that he loves to read his Bible for 2 hours every day, okay, before he starts anything. Just spending time with the Lord. 2 hours reading the Bible. Now, that's a lot of time. Now, we're not saying that we all have to do the same thing. You can spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15. Mine is between 15 minutes to an hour, okay, involving Bible reading, quiet time, praying, and drawing into the presence of God. So there's always a point of beginning. So if I may encourage you to do that, to say, hey, I'm going to start doing this, because that's the lifestyle of Jesus. The lifestyle of Jesus is like having a clock with no hour and minute running. Okay, every time Jesus, he went out to pray, he didn't say how long he prayed, but he said, in this matter of calling the 12 in Luke that we read a while ago, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray all night long. It's only after he had finished praying that he called the 12. Now, that's decision making. Jesus said, I'm going to gather myself a team. And I'm sure he probably talked to God. God, what about Matthew here? He is a cheater. He's a tax collector. He cheated a lot of people of money. What about this James and John? And then Andrew, Peter, fishermen. They're business people. And maybe not much education. Should I pick them? What about Judas, who was going to betray him? Well, I'm sure that in those time of prayer, Jesus communed with God the Father and came with the conclusion, yeah, these are the 12 that you are to call. So that time spent with God, and we need to practice the silence and solitude. That's one thing that has been missing in so much in what we call Christianity today, especially Protestant Christianity. The Catholics, they have all this retreat. I believe there used to be a silent retreat here in Germantown. And when you go there, nobody talks. And you can spend a whole day there as long as you don't talk to anybody. And you have silent retreat for solitude and just to come to pray. The other thing that we find that Jesus does is spending time in God's Word. No. He's God Himself. He knows the Old Testament. He knows everything. But then when He was tempted by Satan, turn this stone into bread, He quoted Scripture. He said, people do not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so we need to spend time. If we are to come into the presence with God, we need to know His Word. We need to spend time reading the Bible. And so today you can download a copy of the Bible in your cell phone. It's very, very convenient. So you can read that during your lunch break. You can read that during your commute. It even has the audio part. And many times I just enjoy pressing that audio and let the scripture be read to me. So I want to encourage you to do that. And the other part is learning to pray. Prayer is conversation with God. Again, I talk about distraction, but this is the thing. We're not just coming to God with a long list of, God, I need this. We're not coming to here only with intercession. Praying for other people is good, but we need to start by just enjoying the presence of God. It's just like when you come home, you don't go to your mom and dad, hey, dad, where's the allowance? You don't go to mom, where's the food? Where's dinner? You come home with a greeting. We come home with, how are you? How was your day? And let me share about your day. One thing that we practice in our home and even with our grandchildren is that at dinner time we take turns. Tell us one thing that happened at school or at work. How was your day? That dinner conversation is very important. So learn to practice that. And prayer is that, as we talk to God. You see, this was the text that was read from Luke chapter 6. That one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spend the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. What's an apostle? Apostle basically is one who's been sent out. He's an ambassador. He's one that God is saying, I'm calling you to go out there and for them to go to preach. So before accepting the task, before anything else, they were to spend time knowing Jesus, getting to know him. Some time ago, we all have this idea of being chosen. And the idea of being chosen, we want to be the one that's being picked, right? If you want to be in a game, you say, hey, I want to be in the starting lineup. I want to be one that is being picked to play in this game. Well, to be chosen by God is very special. I think God chooses each one of us. God is calling each one of us. And he's chosen us for a very purposeful calling. For these disciples, they called to preach. Well, preaching is not just for them. Okay, do the work of an evangelist, Paul told Timothy. Preach the gospel in season and out of season. So we are to bring that good news to other people. Knowing that God has chosen us, called us to be with him and to be like him. How many of you remember wearing this WWJD? Come on, you're not that old. How many of you know what WWJD? I have one hand out there. Okay, two hands. Okay, three, four. Okay, what would Jesus do? That's the WWJD. Very, very popular. And that was the reminder, if you wear this bracelet, when I'm in a situation of conflict, what would Jesus do? When I'm in a hard decision-making time, what would Jesus do? And I think this is the whole thing that disciples, after 3 years of following Jesus, would have learned. What would Jesus do? That's what spending time with someone, the personality of that person, come and influence you. That's why choosing your friends is very important. Who you hang out with. Because personality passes on. You're either attracted or absorbed or maybe reject that type of relationship. But be with Jesus have an impact over you. And so the disciples, what happened there? So when the rulers and elders of the teachers of the law saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be great when people we talk to, they said, hey, I know what you said, you know, doesn't sound very deep, but I know that there's a difference. that this person has been with Jesus. Ordinary men, that's what whom Jesus called. You and I are ordinary people. Jesus called us. But if we spend time with him, getting to know him, we will be like him. So what does this relationship lead to? You know, we start being an acquaintance. And then you've developed that acquaintance into a deeper relationship, and we perhaps would call that friendship. Who do you call my friend? There's a popular worship song now. You know, he is my friend. Jesus is my friend. Well, this is what Jesus had to say in John chapter 15, just as he was about to be ready to be crucified. He told his disciples, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And that's where the intimacy, being in the presence of God, brings to us. In that time of quietness, God makes known to us the things that God the Father wants us to know. Yeah. So discipline ourselves. You know, turn off the phone, turn off the games, turn off the news, turn off anything that is distracting you. And say, "God, I'm going to be listening to you. Speak to me. You are my friend. Thank you for counting me to be your friend." Friendship starts with Jesus when we ask Jesus into our life. This morning, we will partake of communion. And communion can only have meaning because communion, in the way that we do it, is in remembrance of Jesus. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you." He took up the cup. "This is my blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sin." And so for us, we need to take that first step and say, "Jesus, I want to be your friend. Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I do repent of the wrongs that I have done. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I commit my life to you." Maybe you've heard this invitation many times, but I want to bring it. Every time I want to bring up the gospel, I want to bring this invitation because, especially today, we call this the Lord's table. It's not Pastor Wong's, it's not the church. The table is laid out by Jesus as an invitation. "Come." Jesus said, "I want to be your Savior." So maybe this morning this will be your time to say a very simple prayer. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Forgive me, and I will give my life to you." And Jesus would answer that prayer, but that is his promise. As many as call in the name of Jesus, he would grant to them eternal life. So let us prepare ourselves for communion right now. We may be asking ourselves, so what does this mean? What is this about the bread and the cup? Here we are acknowledging the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to come to earth, but he came for that sole purpose, to save sinners like myself and like you. And the way for us to respond is to say thank you. So what we will do, you don't have to all line up all at the same time. Take some time to quietly pray. And before you come up, we'll do things. Some of us have done this before. Instead of serving you with a plate, you come forward to receive the elements. So the elements is the bread, which represent the broken body of Jesus Christ. And we have a grape juice, which represent the blood of Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of sin. Now, I know that some of us have allergies to gluten, so we have a gluten-free bread as well. And so I'm going to ask Ken, the stewards, to come, if you would assist me. And when you are ready, you can just come up and take of the bread, take of the cup. You don't have to wait until you go back to your seat to consume it. Even as you receive it, when you walk back to your seat, you can eat of the bread and drink from the cup. So this is the way we will do this. I need one more person to help with the gluten-free bread. So if you want gluten-free bread, okay, yeah. So you can come up to this is the gluten-free bread, the body of Christ broken for us. So you can take a piece and let me have the bread. There we go. We got it. So you can come up in two lines. I will be serving the bread. If you want gluten-free, you go on that side. And in two sides, you can go for the cup. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we commit to you our lives. Some of us, this may be our new beginning walk with you. Accept our call. Accept our invitation of you into our lives. Some of us this morning is a turning back to you. We repent of our sins. Lord, we thank you for your grace that you forgive us. Lord, we rejoice in your faithfulness, in your goodness. Even as we partake of this communion, Lord, indwell us. Make a change in our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.